Amen. 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 How many of you can testify to that? Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter number 4 this morning. 1 John chapter number 4. I don't know where the song come from, and I'm not giving credit to the type of song that it's sung, but there's a line in there that says, "Let's give the devil his due." But you know what? I don't want to give the devil his due. God's going to give the devil his due. And I want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And I understand there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. And I understand that oftentimes Satan or some of his minions, his demons, his angels, they attack us and they try to do things to thwart what God is doing in our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning that God always wins. God never loses. God always wins. 1 John chapter number 4 this morning, we're going to start here, but we're going to end up going back to the book of Acts. But John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter number 4, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter number 4, John is trying to encourage believers as they're struggling through daily life. These folks didn't understand this way or that way. They couldn't quite see why this was happening or that was happening. And so John is writing these words to give encouragement and peace and direction to people. Here's what he says here in chapter number 4, verse number 1. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. There's a lot of garbage out in this world today, just as there was back then. A lot of false teachers, a lot of false things going on, a lot of people proclaiming this and proclaiming that, saying this is from God and that is from God, and saying that they are spokesmen for God. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Instead, he says, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Understand that there's a lot of falseness out there. There's a lot of false teaching, a lot of false prophets, a lot of people telling you that what they're saying is the truth, but they're liars. And they may look good, they may sound good, they may make a lot of sense, but they're liars and they're false. You say, Brother Brian, are you trying to accuse anybody of anything? Absolutely not. I'm telling you to go by what the Bible says. You compare what somebody sings, you compare what somebody preaches, you compare what somebody prophesies, you compare it to what Scripture says. And if what Scripture says disagrees even a little bit with what somebody says, then that person, that situation, that group is a false prophet. Because here's what he says in verse number 3. He says, verse number 2. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. This is how you can know if it's of God or not. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So you ask the prophet, you ask the group, you ask the preacher, is Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Has he come bodily to this earth? Has he come? And if they say no, then you know they are a false prophet. You know they are a false teacher. You know they are not of God. I don't care how good they look. I don't care how nice they smell. I don't care what their teeth look like. If they do not claim that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they are not of God. Verse number 3. He continues with the thought. That's what the colon means. He says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Look at the major religions in our world today. Compare them and look at them. What do they do with Jesus? If those religions of the world say that Jesus Christ is not God in the flesh, if they say he has not come yet, then they are false religions. They are wrong. They are not of God, and I don't care what they proclaim. I don't care what the government says. If they say that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, it is not of God. That is not politically correct. It will not win me friends. It will not make me popular. But the Bible says it is not of God. Now, this is a safe place to proclaim that. I can proclaim that all day long in this room at this very moment. And I can get an agreement. I can get people to assent and say, yes, I agree, Brother Brian. But here's the key. Can you proclaim this outside? Can you proclaim this in your places of business? Can you proclaim this in your schools? Can you proclaim this at the table during Thanksgiving and during Christmas? Can you proclaim this in the streets? It's easy to say it here, but can you say it out there? We'll say, Brother Brian, there's stipulations I have at work or at school, and there's things that I can say and I can't say, and I'm afraid if I get fired, I'm going to lose friends, or I'm going to make somebody angry at me. That is true. Those things will happen if you proclaim this truth in our society today. But let me ask you a question. Who would you rather please? God or man? See, here's the problem. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about those who aren't here this morning. The problem is this. We get so scared to stand up for Jesus Christ and to live for Him and to proclaim His truth in society. We've been so intimidated by the threats of marches and arrests and all these kind of things and protests that proclaiming Jesus Christ is the only way, that we have bowed down to society, and we have allowed society to put us in a little corner, in a little box, and say, you can say what you want to say, but you got to stay over here. You're part of the white right wing. See, we're an anomaly. We are a group of people who believe we're narrow-minded. We're intolerant because we say Jesus Christ is the only way. And so society says, if you believe that, fine, you believe it, but we don't want to hear it from you. Let us believe what we want to believe. And I don't want to go along with that. Either this is truth, or it's a lie. If what these words are saying to me were written by the very breath of God, which it clearly tells us in 2 Timothy, if it really is that truth, then I am on the side of God. But if it's not the truth, I've got no hope in eternity. Then what I've believed all these years, and I have preached all these years, and I have taught all these years, if this is not the truth, guess what? I have no hope. I will cease to exist when I die. Eventually, my name will be forgotten, and what I have done will be forgotten, meaning no more, if this is not truth. But if it is the truth, then everything I say, everything I proclaim, everything I stand on will have an eternal impact on not only you, but everybody that it touches. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And anybody who says anything different is not of God. Verse number three. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And then he calls them this, he says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. He wrote this in AD 60, AD 70, somewhere around that time period. If he says that the spirit of Antichrist existed back then, my goodness, what in the world exists now? The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. You see it and you hear it. The spirit of Antichrist. Anything that's against Jesus Christ is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist means opposite of Christ. Completely opposite. Verse number 4. He then says this. Ye, beloved, ye are of God. Underline that in your Bibles right there. I want you to underline that, and I want you to get that burned into your brain. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are of God. You are of an exclusive group of people. You are one of several billion, but you are of God. I would rather be of God instead of anti-God. How many of you agree with me this morning? You'd rather be of God instead of anti-God this morning. He says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Who is them? Help me out, English teachers, those of you. Who is this talking about? Who is the them that is talking about? Help me out. The Antichrist. Everybody who says that Jesus Christ is not of God is the Antichrist, but you have overcome them by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then he says this, how come we know this? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan does not win. The ultimate battle, the end of time, when tribulation time is over and the 1,000 years and all those things take place, guess what? Satan loses. Society says Satan is winning. And he may even be winning in your life at this very moment. He may be so controlling your thoughts and your words and your deeds. And he may be controlling how your life operates. But may I tell you, he is a loser. Satan is a liar. Satan is the worst of worsts. My God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried and rose again, he is the true and living God. And he lives inside of me, not in spite of what I've done, but because I've trusted him as my Savior. And if that is true of you, brothers and sisters, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and nothing can overcome him. Remember a couple weeks ago, I showed this to you? What does that mean? Come on now, we're in church, you can say it. Victory! We have won the victory! You watch football teams that win games. They don't walk. They don't leave the stadium, especially in a gigantic rivalry game. They don't leave the stadium going like this. Oh, woe is me. As the camera pans over them, what are they doing? There's victory. Man, we've won. We're number one. Woohoo! So why is it on Sunday mornings? The victors walk like this. Can I get an amen? Amen? Can I get a victory? We win! Now look what he says. He continues on. They, the Antichrist crowd, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We, the victors, the overcomers, we are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You want to know if somebody really stands and has the Holy Spirit living inside of them? You give them God's word. You speak of what God's word says. And if they disagree with what God's word says, and instead they point you to something of the world, they point you to something that the world teaches and tells, guess what? It is not of God. Because that's what it says. It says, this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, Brother Brian, what they're telling me is good stuff. What they're telling me sounds good, and I've seen it work before, and they've got degrees, and they've got all this experience, and they've got all this money, and they've got all this influence. So surely they've got to be telling me the truth. If I told you that the sky outside is green and full of little green men wearing lime suits, and if I told you that this morning, how many of you would know that's a lie? But if I stood up here and I told you, listen, I've got a bachelor's degree, I've got a master's degree, I've got all these years of experience as being a pastor, and I've got all of these things that I've written, I've got dissertations, and I've got books to prove it. So when you walk outside, even though you don't see them, they're there. Then how do you know if I'm telling you the truth or not? Well, I don't see it. You can't always believe these eyes. You've got to believe through this right here. That's why I continue to emphasize to you, if it disagrees with this, it is not truth. No matter how good it sounds and how good the person delivering it looks, this is truth. My eternity and your eternity is based upon this truth. Amen? With that thought process in your mind, let's go to the book of Acts real quick, okay? Because God's will, God's way, God's agenda will never be thwarted. Never. God will never be defeated. God will never, ever, ever be powerless. God will never, ever be bested by Satan. Never. And God deals with folks when they try to get away and they try to do something that God doesn't want. That's what we're going to experience here this morning in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 4. We've seen Barnabas and we've seen Paul, and they've been called. His name is Saul at this moment, but the name changes to Paul in the writings. We've seen them now. They've been called to serve God and to go to other places and preach the gospel, verse number 4. And so they, that's Barnabas and Saul, they departed unto Seleucia, and they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. So it's the first place they hit. They always, when they went to a new city, they always went to the synagogue. They always went to where the Jews were. They hit that place first, because if there's any going to be any place that's going to be opposition, it's going to be in the synagogue. They would go to the synagogue and they would walk in, and then they would begin to tell them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now you talk about starting a fire. You try to go to one of these temples that they have, these Muslim temples, and you walk in there and you start saying that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah and that Muhammad is a false prophet. How many of you believe you're going to last very long? You're dead. You're dead. You might as well just take a pig in there and put it in there. You're dead. You're done. You're ended. But that's the kind of situation that Paul and Barnabas were going into. They were going into the synagogue and they were going in to preach that Jesus is the Messiah. They were going in to tell them that there was no other way to God except through Jesus, the one that was crucified. You talk about starting a fire, it started a fire every time they walked in. Because all they knew is that this Jesus was a false prophet. All they knew that this Jesus was a false God, and he proclaimed a falseness, not truth. So they walk in and they said, Jesus is the Messiah. Whew. Now, if they went and did this in their spirit and in their strength, it never worked. But if they went in there with the Spirit of God on them, it couldn't help but work. Can I confess to you something this morning? there's been times that I have taught or I've preached in the flesh. Oh, I might have proclaimed what the Word of God said, but it was my flesh doing it, not the Spirit of God doing it. That's why I love that song, Brother Dan, that we sang this morning. Spirit of God, flow through me. Because what I want is as the words go out and as this is proclaimed, it's got to be of God and not of me. Because if it's of me, guess what? It's going to fail. And as Saul and Barnabas went out, they went out in the Spirit of God and they proclaimed the truth. So as they went to the synagogue, they started proclaiming the truth. And it says, and they also had John to their minister. Verse number 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, or the son of Joshua. Okay? And he was at the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. And he called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So when Barnabas and Saul got to the island, this deputy, Sergio Paulus, heard about them. And he was anxious because word had already spread about this Jesus they were preaching about. And so they hit the island and he heard about it and he says, guess what? Bring those guys to me. I want to hear what they're speaking. Because now remember, Sergio Paulus, he was a governor of the area. And he worshipped many gods. He was probably Roman, maybe Grecian, and he had all kinds of different gods that he worshipped. A god of the sun, and a god of the moon, and a god of the earth, and the god of the sea, and all these things. But here comes Barnabas and Saul preaching about one God. And so he's anxious to hear about this. But there's always somebody who tries to prevent it. Verse number 6, it talks about him. He was a sorcerer and he was a false prophet. Verse number 8, it says, but Elmas, that's his name, the sorcerer, because that's his name by interpretation, he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Brothers and sisters, anybody who tries to turn you away from the things of God, they are not of God, they are of Satan. Anything, any person, any place that tries to direct you from the things of God, tries to keep you from hearing the things of God, is not of God. It can be a person, it can be a relationship, it can be a job, it can be anything. And if it's taking you away from the things of God and trying to turn you away from the teaching of God, it's not of God. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens there. Because you know what happens? We get so caught up in those things. We use any excuse. I got a cough. I can't come to Sunday school. I can't come and learn with a group of believers. I can't come on a Sunday night. And I can't come to prayer meeting. I can't serve in Awana. I got a cough. Hey, I got free tickets to the train. I'm there. Well, Brother Barron, are you saying that I'm a bad person if I don't come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays? No, I'm not saying that. That is your relationship between you and God. You have to give an account to Him. He speaks to your heart, and you obey what He says. But I'm telling you this. Anything that causes you to be turned away from the things of God is not of God. That's what it says right here. This sorcerer, this false prophet, his sole intention was that his boss, the governor, would not hear of the things of God. And why do you think that was? Why do you think he was so against his boss hearing the things of God? Because he knew that if he knew the truth, he would be out of a job. And his lies would be revealed. He knew that somehow the Word of God was so powerful that Paul and Barnabas were preaching that if they heard the Word of God, that he knew that his lies would be exposed and he would be gotten rid of. That's why Antichrist fights so hard. That's why he makes it so easy for us to believe the lies. Because he knows that if the truth of God gets into our ears, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it will change us. And he knows if he can stop that, he can win the battle. So it says, he withstood them. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he sent them on false places. I don't know if he sent them on a wild goose chase. I don't know what he did. But he sought to turn them away from the deputy, from the faith. He didn't want the deputy to get saved. Verse number 9. Then Saul, this is the last time we see him, he's referred to as Saul. His name is now Paul. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he set his eyes on him. And he said, this is what Paul said to this false prophet, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, you are an enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease to pervert the right ways of myself?" No. Paul says, "Will you not cease from perverting the right ways of the Lord?" If a proclaimer of truth points you to the proclaimer of truth, they are a false prophet. But if the proclaimer of truth points you to God Almighty, they are a true prophet. So he stands there and he says, "You are a false prophet. You are wicked. You are the child of Satan." Now, boys and girls, moms and dads, let me help you out with something. If somebody's trying to turn you away from the things of God, it may not do the best thing in the world to get in their face and call them a child of Satan. You say, "Well, Brother Brian, that's what he did." Well, if you are full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's compelling you to do that, then you go right ahead. But be aware, there's going to be consequences, which is good. But be aware, Satan doesn't like that. And he's going to fight you. But we need to stand for truth. Don't ever back away from truth. But there's ways of going about it instead of pointing your finger in somebody's face and calling them a child of the devil. Amen? Are you all asleep out there? Or is this story just so compelling that your minds are thinking? I'm hoping that's the truth. Verse 11. And he says, "And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." Wow! How many of you want that power? Come on now, you bunch of liars. How many of you wish you could put somebody blind? Now, come on. I'm the only one truthful in here. Okay. You know that person that was going to snatch that thing away from you at Black Friday? You know that one that was in line right before you is going to get that TV before you? Didn't you wish you could make them blind so they couldn't find it no more? I'm being facetious. But here's the truth. We've all, at one time or another, wanted to ban somebody. Wanted to somehow, "Get out of here, you liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from telephone wire." Paul looked right at him and said, "You're going to be blind. You're done, buddy. You're history. But let me show you something here. It shows you how merciful God is. It says this. Paul says, "You are going to be blind for a season." Not permanently, but just a short time. Now, why would God do that? Why doesn't God just go ahead and ban him? Why didn't God just go ahead and make him permanently blind so that he suffer for eternity? Because our God is a merciful and gracious and loving God. Because the truth is, all of us deserve to be blind forever. All of us are wicked and nasty on our own and our own deeds. All of us deserve it. But I praise God, he had mercy and grace and forgiveness towards me. Brothers and sisters, if you're full of the Holy Spirit as they were, you can believe it and proclaim it and live it, knowing that God fights the battles, not you. Who made the blind man? God did. Paul didn't do it. God did. Who fights your battles for you today? Who's doing it? God is. Come on, let me hear you. We're in church, you can say it. God is. If you'll stand to proclaim the truth verbally and living it, it's God fighting for you, not yourself. How many of you have ever lost a battle when you fought it on your own? Every day. I'm losing the battle of the bulge. I can see that, Brother Brian. And I'm ashamed of it. But with God's strength, I can win. And souls will be saved because I'll have the energy and strength to do what he wants me to do. Look what happened. Verse 12. Next week. No, I'm just teasing. We'll do it. Verse 12 says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, but he didn't believe because of the blindness. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. He saw what God had done, and then what God was teaching through Barnabas and Saul, named Paul, changed his heart. If you change your soul this morning, you change your mind this morning, you change what you do this morning because of what I say, you're changing it for the wrong reason. But if you change because of what God's Word clearly says, you're changing for the right reason. I am just a proclaimer. And if you were taking notes this morning and you were trying to find errors and things that I said and how I said it, you should have a whole book full. Because I am just clay. But you'll never find error in this. And I thank God he has allowed me to proclaim it. Now I want to live it continually as I proclaim it. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise be to God. Now, we're about to have an invitation time. God may not have spoken to you about anything specific this morning. There have been nothing perhaps that I spoke on, that I read to you and shared with you, that God spoke to you about, and that's fine. But maybe he's working on something else in your life. Maybe you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and showed you that you're not really a believer. You're just playing the game. Well, today that can change. Today can be the day that you say, I want Jesus Christ to save my soul. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I'm confessing that to him today. That is the truth. And I invite you to do that today. You can do it where you're sitting. You can do it up here with somebody showing you. But do not leave this room unsaved. You may be sitting here and say, Brother Brian, I'm saved, but I'm dealing with Satan on an everyday basis. He's fighting me tooth and nail, and I need strength. Today, you can say, God, help me, and he can give you the wisdom that you need to fight Satan. And the wisdom's going to come from this. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're his enemy. And you need to become one of His children by trusting Him as your Savior. That's the truth. That's the truth. Praise God for what He has done and what He's going to do. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Danny's going to come on up. Michelle's going to come up and they're going to play, have a time of invitation. We're asking our baptized or soon to be baptized youngins, come on up. Brother Joe, come on up. Here comes Scott. There comes Miriam. We'll be baptizing in just a second. But today's the day. Somebody needs to truly trust Jesus Christ, their Savior, today. Time to stop playing the game, lying to yourself, allowing Satan to lie to you. It's time. See, Brother Brian, what's it going to cost me? It's going to cost you a lot, world standpoint, but you won't lose anything in eternity. Trust Christ. He's the only way. He's the only way. If you're fighting a battle this morning, give it to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do it His way. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know every situation in this very room. And I know, God, that You want to work if we'll simply surrender and obey. There are souls in this very room that need Jesus Christ as their true Savior. The game playing is done. It's time. May today be that day. Out of love, may we show them. There's people here fighting battles. They need You. I pray they'll trust You and surrender to You in all these things. Thank You, God. We praise You. In Christ's name, I pray these things. Head bowed, eyes closed. Brother Tanner will meet you down here. If you want to pray, you want some guidance and direction, Brother Tanner will meet you down here. But more importantly, respond to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you today. Respond to Him.